The Politics, Politics, Politics program is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/JURY. That is where you can support this very, very show. If you are a $3 a week subscriber, you get 3 podcasts per week, 1 on Monday, this free one always on Wednesday, and of course, 1 on Friday. The Monday one wound up being my initial reactions to the Trump and Putin summit. So there is a value to this, a good value. Thank you very much to everybody who has been a part of it. If you want to get all the stories that I am reading every single day, you can sign up for my free political newsletter at freepoliticalnewsletter.com. It's free. It's political. It's a newsletter. 5 stories every day, some hot takes, a few gifts, many of which are from Chappelle's show. A couple from Talladega Nights, too. I was in a Talladega Nights mood. But enough of talking about how we support the show. Hey, friends. Oh, what do you say we just do that damn thing? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, 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 welcome to the Politics, Politics, Politics Show! My name is Justin Robert Young. I'm the host. I mean, what are we even going to talk about? What are we going to talk about, you guys? What are we going to talk about? I mean, I don't even know what to talk about. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I watch, and all of y'all who are $3 subscribers, thank you so much. You guys are keeping this show alive on a level that I never thought possible. But you guys got my initial reaction. I literally turned off the news conference. And I went right on and I recorded my immediate thoughts. And my immediate thoughts were, what's the big deal? I mean, this is kind of what we knew Putin wanted to do. This is kind of what Trump has said. There is literally zero evidence to show that Donald Trump wants to do anything but frustrate and fluster pointed questions when asked directly by the press. So, what did we think was going to happen? Versus, I mean, if happiness is a measure of expectations, what were our expectations going into this? And how were they subverted if they were subverted? And that was effectively my take. I didn't really think that there was much to it. And I thought that, you know, I don't want to go in on the, like, Trump derangement syndrome thing. But I thought this was a tailor-made opportunity for what I will scientifically refer to as a brouhaha. But as we got further into the day, and I noticed that a lot of the Sturm und Drang was not only coming from the usual suspects, four of whom are very aggressive toward Trump, but rather a lot of the conservative movement. And not just the Never Trumpers. It isn't just Jeff Flake, you know, doing the angriest backflip ever performed. It was the Newt Gingriches of the world. It was the Fox and Friends of the world. Then I realized that Trump had really fucked up. He really fucked up. He fucked up for his people. And I was like, why? Why this? Why now? Why this version of Donald Trump batting back in every possible way the idea that he colluded with Russia? Why is this the thing? Well, I came to a conclusion. The problem that Donald Trump has with Russia is that, unlike what he has with North Korea, he has not in any way, for his own purposes, framed this correctly. Now, before we get into this, let me just say I'm going to go down this road assuming that Donald Trump is not an agent of the Kremlin. All right? So for the sake of this argument, if you are somebody for whom very deeply believes that Donald Trump is either somebody for whom is an agent of the Kremlin from decades back, or B, has been compromised by the Kremlin and is now a puppet of Vladimir Putin, this is going to ignore your theories for right now, not because I believe that they are totally untrue, although I would suspect that they are untrue, but I don't know for a fact, just because I think that there are branching paths for which we need to understand, okay? So follow me through this. Even if you absolutely are sure, you are dead sure that the P tapes are real and that Donald Trump hasn't released his tax returns because he is indebted to Russian oligarchs and this is the only way that he could repay his debt is by successfully running for president and becoming the first non-governmental, non-military president in history. It's a long shot bet by the KGB. I guess they're not the KGB anymore, whatever they're called. It's a long shot bet from Putin, but let's say he put a little bit down for laughs, and next thing you know, his ship came in and he has the president under his thumb. Even if you believe that, let's follow me down this path. Donald Trump's actual job, the job he had prior to becoming president of the United States, was to keep himself and his name in the news so he could license his name to anybody who wanted to buy it. That was his job. In his younger days, he was more of a hands-on real estate developer. But past The Apprentice, the job was really to stay famous, effectively. And to stay famous, he needed to keep his finger on the pulse. What we have understood very thoroughly is that Donald Trump only wants to talk about what the media is talking about. This is a way for him to make sure he stays in the center of every possible conversation. It's the reason why he brings up shit like the fucking NFL anthem. It's not because it's necessarily appropriate. It's because he knows it will get headlines. He knows he will get reactions for it. So when we deal with North Korea, we understand that this is a vexing foreign policy problem that also is something that deals with probably the looming threat over the next 50 years, and that is China, and that it would be better for the world if there were one less unpredictable rogue nuclear power. Nuclear power. He said, correcting himself so he didn't get emails. With Russia, we don't really have an end game. He has not enumerated, he has not spelled out, he has not really made clear to even his supporters what the end game is. Is it nuclear disarmament? Is it Russia will help us solve the problem in Syria? Is it that Russia will help us solve a problem in Iran? Like, there's no end game. If Donald Trump went into that meeting and said, we are here for Syria, we are here for Iran, we are here to reduce the amount of nuclear missiles, it wouldn't matter how chummy he is. He could say, I believe our intelligence committee, but we are in the middle of these negotiations, and for the purposes of a greater good, I am going to take the word of the person in, the person in front of me. I mean, because look, Donald Trump saying nice things about Kim Jong-un is gross and weird. And yet there is more of an appetite to swallow that if we can rationalize, well, look, we don't have a lot of official communication with North Korea. 90% of what they hear from the president, they hear from the press. So if anytime the press brings up Kim Jong-un, Donald Trump says, you know, he's got a great haircut. He's got a real strong jaw. He's got a hell of an appetite. Yeah, I saw this man. I'll tell you what, I tried to keep up with him, but he's a real great eater. Like, if he says complimentary, gross, weird shit about somebody that we all know to be an absolute fucking brutal dictator, if in our heads this is leading to something, we can deal with it. Where Trump fucked up is that we have no idea what he wants out of Russia. The deal maker doesn't have a deal in place. The only thing that exists, in Trump's mind is his war on the critics. His war on the collusion narrative and all the proxy actors that come along with it. Mueller, CNN, everybody else. Jim Acosta. I know he works for CNN, but he gets his own thing. So I stand by my initial statement that I don't quite understand why people were surprised, because there were no previous actions that would lead us to believe that Donald Trump would provide a tougher target for Vladimir Putin. Specifically, when the choice is for Donald Trump to either be complimentary to somebody that is a geopolitical nemesis or make the media happy, he's going to take the side of the geopolitical nemesis. And that's where things got fucked up. A, that we watched that stress test in action, and it rubbed a lot of people as gross. And two, that there was not even, and this is on the conservative side, that there was not even a pretense of what we're getting out of this. There was no element of that. And this is, again, for the vast majority of the people that were very upset with how things went, these are people that destroyed Obama, destroyed Hillary about, like, the Russian reset, about Obama telling Medvedev, this is my last election. After my election, I'll have a lot more freedom to negotiate with you. That was something that was not supposed to be caught. It was caught on a live mic, and we all just totally fucking forget about. I'm not really one for the if it were Trump kind of game. But I'll tell you this. If Donald Trump had told fucking Medvedev, hey, after this election, I got some freedom. Don't worry. And Medvedev said in the way that he actually said it, I will transmit this to Vladimir. I mean, it would be loud. That would be a loud moment. The fact of the matter is that even hardcore Trump train lifers don't like Putin. They like angry liberals. And this really, I mean, sure, the liberals, it triggered the libs. But the libs are triggered about the Russia thing all the time. There really wasn't any gain here. There was no context, and therefore, in free-floating space, a gross spectacle looked like what it is. A gross spectacle. Here's the fact of the matter. When Newt Gingrich and Fox and Friends say you embarrassed yourself, you embarrassed yourself. And that's why he came out yesterday. Called an emergency meeting with Congress, for which the press was there. Said that he misspoke. Misspoke. Don't worry. The big thing was he misspoke. When he said that he doesn't see why it would be Russia who had meddled in our 2016 election. See, now what he actually meant to say, well, actually, what he meant to say was he wouldn't know why it would be Russia. Wait, wouldn't know it would be anybody but Russia. Basically, he tried to change would to wouldn't, and that was the issue. This is, if we're going to translate, Donald Trump saying, I got caught up trying to fuck with the media. I've said repeatedly that I do believe that I do believe in our intelligence committee, or intelligence community, rather. But he currently does not like two things. Anybody who thinks that he didn't win that election fair and square, and anybody who supports a possibility to impeach him. That's Robert Mueller. He has attacked the intelligence community in the past. And so if the press is asking him about the intelligence community, well, he got caught up. You want to know what, guys? I got caught up. Oops. And then, of course, today, this is Wednesday, he is asked, do you think that Russia is still attacking our credibility, is still targeting our election? He said no. See, Media King 909 is making a mistake here in the chat that I think that Trump is making as well. Media King 909 here in our chat says, the moment that Trump says Putin meddled, the press will declare his presidency illegitimate. Number one, when would that stop them? Number two, there has to be a distinction between they meddled and they won me the election. You have to be able to draw that line. You have to. And you specifically have to if Trump were to take my 24-karat gold solid plan to navigate on out of this. Get tough on Russian meddling. Tough on meddling. Tough on the sanctity of American elections. He's already got half the narrative written. He's already said he has a problem with illegitimate voting. He's already put out these crazy ass numbers of how many people voted for Hillary. This is about sanctifying American democracy. And he can do his favorite thing. He can do his favorite thing. I know this might sound a little weird. Trump, if you're watching, if you clip this out, send it to Trump. Trump, if you're watching. I know you don't want to do it. It's like, oh, it's like giving an inch to the media. You don't want to give an inch to the media. But I'm going to tempt you, baby. I'm going to put a little bit of sugar on top. I'm going to try to give you a little candy. You can do your favorite thing. Flex on Obama. Yes. Yes. You can flex on Obama. You can say, you want to know who didn't do shit when he knew that Russia was meddling? Obama. You want to know who's doing shit now? Me. President Trump. No more meddling. No more meddling. I'm going to say, you know, I don't even know how much meddling was done in the past. From here on out, the buck stops with old Trumparoo. No more meddling. I'm going to take this very seriously. And contrast yourself to Obama, because what you have seen is a narrative being written, and nobody understands narratives like that dude. That dude does get that. The narrative that we had a huge breach, and he has already flirted with this idea, Trump has, that, okay, well, Obama knew. Why didn't he do anything? And it has always kind of dovetailed into the idea that, well, he thought that Hillary was going to win, so he didn't want to do anything that could have tainted her victory. Media King 909 says, who is he placating by following this 24-karat gold perfect plan? I put that last part on there. He didn't write that last part. His base. Make your weakness strengths. Make your weakness strengths. This is the to me, the most important and rarest skill in politics. To take anything that people could look at you negatively and make it a positive. Or maybe he's an agent of the Russian state, just like that NRA lady. Who knows? So it's either everything I just said and the plan to go forward, or he's somebody got a picture of his dick at some point in Moscow, and now he's so afraid because his dick is a weird scarred thing. It just looks like, you know, an old weary traveler. His dick has a glass eye or something. It's like his dick has an eye like Mad-Eye Moody, and he's so embarrassed with the shape, color, and form of his penis that he is now doing literally anything that Vladimir Putin would want. So it's one or the other. It's one or the other. I mean, tomato, tomato. You never know. I don't think this is about winning over the media. He is never going to win over the media. Although, there is a line between winning over the media and not getting in your own way. I think Donald Trump, at the most most mildly put, got in his own way in a major way on Monday. As we know, as we're watching, look, you don't have to go back and clean up your mess if you didn't fucking shit on the floor, right? You don't have to go back the next day and correct the record if you got all of that one. Here's something that I also need to talk about. Because this came up out of this. And I mentioned after the election that what I thought one of the biggest kind of ideas in political thought that I was noticing was becoming more and more popular was the concept of globalism. You can't have Brexit and Trump getting elected and some of the other things that are happening worldwide without trying to give an honest understanding to the fears of globalism. Something that is resonating with voters around the world. And that idea, as simply as I could understand it, is that power is getting further and further away from me. And that one day it might get so far that I'll never be able to get it back. And that's the fear. The fear is that, okay, well, you can be a globalist on trade, right? But when you start to become, when you start to defer power to international bodies, that it's scary. When somebody across the world can tell me that I can't do something in my house, that's a fear, right? I'm not saying it's real or realistic. I'm saying it's a fear. And if you don't honestly try to give it a chance, try to understand where people are coming from with it, then I think you are willfully blinding yourself to the modern political landscape. IMO. So here's something else. Another thing. And this and the globalist thing kind of dovetails. The peace at all costs conservative. Peace at all costs. Among the only people excited by the Trump-Putin meeting were folks like Pat Buchanan, Alex Jones, Roger Stone. And the mantra that they had was, this is about peace. Everybody who's upset about this, who wants us to be meaner to Russia, wants us to get to war. They want us to go to war. And either you are on the side of we shouldn't be going to war, or you are on the side of we should be getting closer to war. Now, this trend is fascinating to me. Fascinating to me. Because it is very clearly a reaction to the neoconservative movement of the Bush era. The era of interventionalism. The era of solving problems around the world so they don't come home. That post 9/11, that was very popular. Popular to say, well, we have a problem in Afghanistan, and we can let that fester, or we can do something about it. And so the appetite was bigger for doing something about it. Of course, Afghanistan then led to Iraq. So this seems to me, at the very least, to be a reaction to that. Those wars were very unpopular, remain unpopular. So if they're unpopular, where is the home for those people that are upset by it? J.C. Calhoun in our chat says, is peace at all cost tied to isolationism? Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think that there's no, there's certainly no denying that there seems to be, at the very least, ideological bedfellows to that. But what's interesting is that the people that were the most upset with those wars were liberals. And so, while right now, I think liberals have a lot to be mad at with Donald Trump, is peace at all costs a rising brand? Is it an idea that can make voters cross the line? How many Bernie voters are peace at all costs? Are we watching the shaping of a new major wedge issue? That will remain to be seen. But I'm telling you, If you don't try to give this an honest understanding, and don't just say, they're liars, they're creeps, they're awful. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying, these ideas are resonating. And even when everything had tilted against the Trump administration over the last 72 hours, these were the people that were excited. Here's something I'm excited about. Who is America? Who is America, of course, is the new program by Sacha Baron Cohen. You will know him from Ollie G and Borat and Bruno. It debuted on Sunday on the Showtime channel. And the segment that kind of went viral was his new character, Sacha Baron Cohen's new character as an Israeli agent. Sorry, an Israeli defense expert who is trying to convince various people from the NRA and otherwise that he is somebody that he is somebody that is trying to push a new program wherein he will train and educate kindergartners on how to use guns. And he winds up getting a lot of senators and congresspeople, both past and present, to endorse his Kindergartens program. He also has an NRA representative film a little kids education video. But he gets Dana Rohrabacher, a current congressman from California. I don't know whether or not this is going to be something that we are going to talk more about. I suspect, you know, apparently he's got episodes wherein he pranks Sarah Palin, wherein he pranks Bernie Sanders. He got what's his butt? Our favorite, the man which rode sassy. He got that dude. God damn it! How can I not remember his name? Oh, Bernie was in on the first episode. Roy Moore. Bernie was on the first episode. You know, look, this is the show that said Kanye West coming out as a Donald Trump supporter was the biggest story of politics. So I'm certainly one to lean toward the dumb shit being more important than it is. Because I do think that the dumb shit is oftentimes more important than we give it credit for. But I'm gonna say the fact that I have not yet watched the first episode is probably a sign that it might not be as important as I might have initially thought. And B, that, like, what the fuck is, like, Showtime doing that, like, they didn't promo the show? They didn't show any of the new characters beforehand. Really, the only clip that got out like 48 hours before they debuted the show was that Israeli defense guy. Like, it was really puzzling. Like, you would think that this would be the biggest thing. You'd build it up like over a month, because they wound up getting a ton of free press. Sarah Palin took to her Facebook and promoted the show. Although maybe it's just not good. The Reverend Puck here echoes what I think a lot of people have said, that the Israeli clip was really the only funny clip. The rest of it was meh. Say. And I guess they're still shooting it. Sacha Baron Cohen got busted by a gun store owner for trying to buy a gun as like a Hungarian immigrant or some shit. I don't know. I don't know what to take seriously anymore. I mean, maybe we shouldn't take anything seriously. Maybe we should just, you know, stick to the numbers. Maybe we should just, you know, just get, you know, get serious for once in our lives. You know, just go ahead and try to figure out exactly what's going on. Which is why we bring to you the only way that we think it's possible to quantify data science. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please gather around for the...
Get on the floor if you got that booty.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Quinnipiac poll for July 12th through the 16th with 415 registered voters for the New York gubernatorial Democratic primary. Coming up first to the stage, star of stage and screen, and progressive hero with 23% of the vote. Please give a big round of applause to Cynthia Nixon! But your headliner.
Get on the floor if you got that booty.
He is the current governor of New York with a commanding 59 points. He is Andrew Cuomo. That is Cuomo over Nixon with a 36 point spread. All right, everybody, let's go ahead and get into but your emails. You can always send me an email, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Again, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Fritz writes, would McCain and Flake just flip sides? The Republican Party is now Trump's party. Why not walk across the aisle and save America right now? This is an interesting idea. So there's the reality. Number one, John McCain isn't voting for anybody. He's not in the Senate right now. Jeff Flake is on his way out. So, I mean, obviously he is a vote, but... he is not any, you know, he's kind of irrelevant. Then there's the fact that I do think that Flake, we might see a challenge from the right in the primary against Trump. But I do think that there is a interesting way that the Democrats like to look at the Republican Party. Like, I do believe that Republicans believe in the big tent thing seriously. That they are used to not liking a lot of the rest of their party. And so the fact that they don't like the president isn't weird to them. Now, John McCain has certainly voted. I mean, he spiked the Obamacare thing. But I also don't know why even politically it would make sense for them. It's not like they would be welcomed with open arms. They'd just be hated by both sides. And aside from that, you know, I guess theoretically you could erase a Republican majority, but you've also now alienated the people that put you in there. And as we have, if there's one thing I've taught you people, it is the only thing politicians give a fuck about is how they get elected next. If you want the guide on all behavior, how will they get elected next? The most likely way, the traditional way, is that people who voted for them in the past will vote for them again. So why would you tell all of them to go fuck themselves? The rumor is that John McCain's wife, Cindy McCain, would take his seat. But that remains to be seen. Also, TVC Gun says McCain is done. Flake might be thinking about some other office. I mean, no, you can say McCain is done. I don't believe. I mean, listen, if for whatever reason John McCain can beat brain cancer, I think he's going to be in there for fucking ever. Ever. That dude, I don't think has his goal past the election that he fucking past the 08 election was to become the lion of the Senate. He has no interest, no interest in giving up that seat ever, ever. We asked, based on the rumors that Hillary Clinton might be running in the next election, we asked Hillary voters, Hill Dogs, to email in if you would be excited about Hillary running again. We got a bunch of emails. Michael wrote, I despise Trump with every fiber of my being, but I would rather split my dick with a nail gun than see her run again. Well, not to put too fine a point on it, I guess. Zach wrote, if she runs again, she's going to come out the gate blasting caps in their asses, NWA style. And if she gets Bernie to run with her, she has Trump dead to rights. Well, so let's file that one in she should run again camp. All right. I think her running with Bernie would probably be an interesting bedfellow, seeing as they fucking hate each other. Tim wrote, I voted for Hillary last election because I had to. But she can fuck right off with the notion that she should run again. She's the one who gave us Trump in the first place. And if she's still in the general election in 2020, she's going to be the one who gives us 8 years of Trump. So she can fuck right off. Several Republican co-workers of mine said that they didn't like Trump at all, but they hated Hillary more because of all the baggage she carried from the 90s. So she's only going to cause more fucking pain for her own party if she runs again. So she needs to fuck right off into that good night forevermore. So I'm going to say that's an against. Is that an against? Would we consider that an against or a for? A for or against? For? Against. For? Against. For? I'm going to go against. Let's go against. Okay? That's against. It's a real fielder's choice. I mean, get off the fence, Tim. All right? Enough. Enough. You know, people get on me for being both sides. Let's. All right. Make a choice. Michael said, I'm a liberal progressive and I like Bernie Sanders. Hell no to Hillary in 2020 or any other year. That doesn't necessarily surprise me. Joey wrote, if Hillary runs for president again and the Democrats somehow nominate her, then Mueller needs to drop the Russia investigation and start investigating Hillary for being a shill for Trump. The one person who could lose to Donald Trump and you would nominate her again? Is she just going to keep running until she wins or dies? Hillary 2028, I swear I can win this time, guys. And I thought my party was stupid for splitting the reasonable vote 8 ways and letting Trump consolidate the crazy vote. So obviously Trump, Joey is not a hill dogger, so we're going to leave off his vote. So it seemed like, well, really, I guess Michael was a Bernie guy, so it was out of those three emails that we read, one for, one against, and then Tim, old in the middle Tim. I guess we'll never know. Randy from Oklahoma said, it both saddens and delights me that the best, most well-rounded journalism I hear each week comes from the man who seemingly lost his razor to shave his face around the time of hanging Chads. drops F-bombs like they're going out of style, is the architect of the poop buffet and the pole dance, hosted a live presidential sex scandal bracket, and has no effing clue how to use whom in a sentence, but who uses it anyway with reckless abandon. Thank you for being you. Well, Randy from Oklahoma, thank you for being whom. Tom wrote in and said, on the show, you mentioned the book on precedent written by Neil Gorsuch. The book is The Law of Judicial Precedent. What you may not know is that Gorsuch is one of only 13 authors. Guess who else is a co-author of that book? None other than current Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. This should be good enough for Collins and Murkowski. During Gorsuch's confirmation, Collins said, I had a very long discussion with Justice Gorsuch in my office, and he pointed out to me that he is the co-author of a whole book on precedent. So, somebody who devotes that much time to writing a book on precedent, I think, understands how important a principle that is to our judicial system. It seems, end quote. It seems awfully hard for her to now make the argument that Kavanaugh would be enough of a threat to Roe versus Wade for her to vote no. My prediction, which I have real money riding on, unpredicted, is that the confirmation will happen in September. This is pretty much confirmed by the judiciary chairman. Now, I'm going to read this as it was written. This has been a very even keel email so far. So I don't know if this was him leaving off a certain letter or if he's trying to make a very crude point. But I'm going to read this sentence as it was written. This was pretty much confirmed by Judiciary Chairman Cuck Grassley today. Which it is Chuck Grassley, so I don't know whether or not he meant Cuck Grassley. Let's just leave it there. Considering that there isn't anything this blue team can do to stop the confirmation, I have no reason to doubt this timeline. Plus, there's a lot of motivation to get him seated by October 1st when oral arguments begin for the term. The only question is exactly how many Democrats will vote for confirmation. Right now, it looks like the best odds on predicted said he'll be confirmed by 53 votes. I thank you very much, Tom. Here's all I'll say. And I only caught a glimpse of this as we went on. But there was more brouhaha about whether or not a president can be investigated, whether or not a president can be charged with stuff. Kavanaugh walked right into making that more of an issue. If we see the Mueller investigation's findings drop, and they are something that is very upsetting to the general public, then I do think that the Murkowskis and the Collinses of the world, the key voters, could shy away from this. I think that Tom is correct that the Roe versus Wade argument might not be enough to get those two particular pro-choice Republican senators to back off. But will a gigantic, all-encompassing national scandal about what's in the Mueller report do it? Very interesting. Politics, 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 politics. Ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up. Folks, if you want to email in, theyoungamerican@gmail.com. Music has been provided by Valesco and Trop Killers. You can follow me at Justin R. Young, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Of course, sign up for my free political newsletter at freepoliticalnewsletter.com. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, if you're an Amazon Prime member, sure, a bunch of y'all signed up for Prime so you can get those Prime Day discounts. If you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, then come on over, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Subscribe to my channel. If you don't have a Twitch account, it's very easy to create one. You subscribe with Twitch Prime. That is use it or lose it money. You can give it to me for free. I call dibs. So, again, it goes away. So you might as well do it. It's a free way to support the show. That's about it. Folks, some people talk about politics. Some people talk about politics. Some even talk about politics, but this right here, this is the only show that talks about it. Oh, motherfucking three. See y'all next week.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.